Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Labor Department today says that prices of imported goods fell sharply in August, helping keep a lid on inflation in the U.S. Import prices fell 0.9% from July. Import prices have dropped for two straight months, largely due to a global glut of oil. The price of imported petroleum fell 4.4% last month. Food prices rose 0.6%. The European Union has imposed fresh sanctions on Russia, targeting some of its largest companies in a response to Moscow's actions in Ukraine. In the new round of sanctions unveiled in its official publication today, the EU closed long-term lending for a number of Russian companies, including the country's largest oil producer. The EU also imposed sanctions on 24 individuals, including rebel leaders and senior Russian lawmakers. Meanwhile, the Bank of Russia today says that geopolitical tensions pose serious risks for Russia's economy, which, if accompanied by a drop in oil prices, may show nearly zero growth in the next 3 years. The central bank admitted that already imposed sanctions, including those that limit access to foreign borrowing markets for Russian banks and companies, will have a prolonged impact. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 16,939. It's down 21 points. The NASDAQ, 4,069, down 14.5. And the S&P 500 is 1986, and it is down 3 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. It's cool out there in parts of the northwestern sections of the Corn Belt, and rather chilly, to say the least. I think most of the temperatures up there are running in the 30s and 40s, but we have seen some freezes overnight last night in portions of the neighboring areas of the northern plains and Canada's prairies. We did see damaging cold, with temperatures getting down to the range of about 26 to around 32 degrees across southern Canada and the northwestern U.S. plains. That cool air mass is moderating, but it is shifting to the southeast. It'll settle over the western Corn Belt tomorrow morning. That does not mean we're going to have widespread crop-damaging cold. This air mass is having a real hard time holding together. After all, it is the first significant cold shot of the season. It's running into all this warmer air that's present across the region. We will be seeing temperatures tomorrow morning, though, in the 30s across Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, portions of Iowa and Nebraska, and maybe portions of Wisconsin. And there may be some temperatures that could drop down close to 28 or 29 degrees on the fringes of crop country in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and also in eastern North Dakota. But I do not expect to see widespread significant crop damage to occur. There's going to be a lot of cloud cover still around in portions of Iowa and southern Wisconsin, southern Minnesota, so those areas should be adequately protected from the coldest conditions until shortly before dawn tomorrow, and then the skies will clear off and we'll get down to some frost levels, but nothing that will seriously hurt the majority of the crops out there. Right now it is raining in most of Iowa and Nebraska. We're seeing some increase in the precipitation occurring. Some thunderstorms are going to rumble across some of these areas as we go through the day today. And eventually the precipitation will shift eastward across other areas in the Midwest. And we'll see the precipitation intensity diminish the further east it goes. So in response to the diminishing trend, some of the eastern portions of the Midwest will probably not see a tremendous volume of rain out of this event. But a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 3 or 4 tenths of an inch, will occur. And in those areas out there in Iowa and parts of Nebraska that are getting some of the greater rains this morning, they may end up with some totals of a half inch to an inch. And that's not necessarily very great, because those areas are the same that got hit with the heavy rains here just earlier this week. So the need for drying in the Western Corn Belt is still very significant. The forecast is going to offer some relief to that wet bias that's present out there in some of those western areas, but it doesn't come with a continuous period of dry weather until sometime next week. The middle and latter parts of the week will then become much more favorable for a drying tendency, and that's true for all of the Midwest. So here today, we'll expect the showers to move out of the Western Corn Belt, shift eastward, and diminish. And then as we go into the day tomorrow, we'll have that cool start in the Western Corn Belt. Almost everybody in the Midwest will be dry tomorrow. And then as we go into Sunday, a reinforcing shot of cooler air will work its way from northwest to southeast or through the Midwest, and we'll see another band of light shower activity occurring ahead of that cooler air. Another frost or freezy morning will occur across the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota Sunday and Monday, but it will not get any further into the Corn Belt than that, and we'll expect that light precipitation event to go ahead and work its way through the rest of the region with a few hundredths of an inch upwards to maybe a couple tenths of an inch of moisture coming with it. Our afternoon temperatures are expected to be fairly chilly now these next few days. We'll see highs today in the 50s and 60s in a big part of the Midwest, except near the Ohio River, where we'll see some lower 70s. And then for the next or the following couple of days, we'll see something quite similar, 50s and 60s and some lower 70s on the far south end of the region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat 5.96¾ up 1. December 6.01 down 5¼. Soft September wheat, not trading on the big board, but remember, those contracts do go off the board today. December at 5.04, down 5½, now 5¾. September corn, 3.33, up 1¼. December, 3.41¼, up 1/4. Go out to July at 3.69½, up 1/4. September soybeans, 10.68, up 6½. November, 9.80½, down 1. July, 10.05½, down 1½. September soybean meal, 4.26.50, down 20. September soybean oil, not trading. The October, though, at 31.92, up 42. October live cattle, 157.55, up 17½. September feeders are 228.67½, up 62½. And October lean hogs, 104.92½, down 145. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I think that yesterday's reports tease up Monday when we get FSS numbers updated, and then we'll have many people trying to figure out exactly where we might be on acreage numbers come October.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where the attention's turned to, kind of a quiet day this morning here after the report yesterday, and really kind of a muted reaction to the report. It was, you know, if you looked at it compared to what expectations, it was pretty much in line, except for maybe a little bit bearish on the bean side. But September goes off the board today, as you mentioned earlier. I think, you know, that probably means that December has a trade down to some of these September lows at some point from a weekly chart standpoint. And of course, on the bean side, we're going to see a big gap there on the weekly with the September going off and having a lot lower price in November.
With those reports coming out from FSA on Monday, might December corn be reaching a seasonal low?
It seems like to me that we're kind of coming with the report yesterday to maybe a fair value type attitude from the trade, you know, that, you know, the 171 or so on yield has kind of been a number. It's been an average number out there for a while, and you know, I think we're kind of feeling that from the standpoint. But, you know, harvest is just beginning, and we could probably see some harvest pressure on it yet. So I wouldn't be ready to, you know, bet the farm that the low's in there.
But we're close to turning sideways?
Yeah, I think we're in a kind of a sideways pattern here, maybe sideways lower.
And would you be long-term bullish corn?
Oh, I don't know that I'd want to call it bullish. I think it's going to take some... We're starting to see some exports pick up here a little bit. The price has to do some work yet. We have to get some demand build up here. I think on corn, we will do that. I think we just got to see some demand pick up here before we start to see the price turn go the other way.
Your ideas on soybeans
on
today?
On soybeans, the number that really stuck in my mind was the world carryout. It's 1.6 times as big as what we had 2 years ago, 90 million metric tons versus 56 million metric tons 2 years ago. That's just a lot of beans to eat through, and I just am not sure that I see how we're going to increase demand enough to get through that.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. September corn, 333. It's up 1.25. December, 341, unchanged. September soybeans, 1071, up 9.5. November, 1081.75, up 0.25. September soybean meal, 426.50, down 20. September soybean oil, not trading, but the October at 31.96, up 46 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.